ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. టెక్స్ట్ ఇస్ 2. ఓకే, థ్యాంక్ యూ. సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 20 టైటిల్ ప్యూర్ డివోషన్ సర్వీస్ అండ్ ద టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 2. వర్ణాశ్రమ వికల్పం చ ప్రతిలోమానులోమజం ద్రవ్యదేశవయకాలాన్ స్వర్గం నరకం ఏవచ. వర్ణాశ్రమ of the varnashram system, vikalpam, the variety of superior and inferior positions created by piety and sin, cha and pradiloma, birth in the mixed family wherein the father is inferior in social status to the mother, anulomajam, birth in a mixed family in which the father is superior in social status to the mother, dravya, material objects or possessions, desha, the place, vaya, one's age, kalan, the time, swargam, heaven, narakam, hell, eva, indeed, cha, also. Translation: according to Vedic literature, the superior and inferior varieties found in the human social system, varnashrama, are due to pious and sinful modes of family planning. Thus, piety and sin are constant points of reference in the Vedic analysis of the components of a given situation, namely the material, ingredients, place, age and time. Indeed, the Vedas reveal the existence of material heaven and hell, which are certainly based on piety and sin. So here is a purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. Pratiloma indicates the combination of a superior woman with a inferior man. For example, the Vaidehaka community consists of those born of Shudra father and Brahmana mother, whereas the Sutas are those born from a Kshatriya father and a Brahmana mother, or from a Shudra father and Kshatriya mother. Anuloma indicates those born from a superior father and inferior mother. The Murtha Vasikta are those born of a Brahmana father and Kshatriya mother. Ambashtas are born those from a Brahmana father and Vaishya mother, and they often become medical men. Karana indicates those born of a Vaishya father and Shudra mother, or of a Kshatriya father and Vaishya mother. That such mixing of castes is not very much appreciated in the Vedic culture is demonstrated in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was very worried that the death of so many Kshatriyas on the battlefield would lead to the mixing of superior women with the inferior men. And on those grounds, he objected to fighting. In any case, the entire Vedic social system is based on distinguishing between piety and sin, and Sri Uddhava is encouraging the Lord to explain more elaborately his statement that one should transcend both piety and sin.
ओम ज्ञान तीव्रांतस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। It's quite unprepared. So here there is a very nice description, a nice analysis of the Vedic literature. So the whole Vedic literature, the primary analysis is based on two points. One is piety and sinful activities. So what is pious, what is impious? This is a prime question, whether it is time, place or circumstances or even in marriage. What is pious and what is impious? So here, very elaborate description is given regarding the Anuloma and Pratiloma system of marriage. That is, Anuloma means the father is of a higher class and the mother is of a lower class. So in the husband and wife, husband is of a higher class and the wife is of a lower class. That is Anuloma. And exactly the opposite is Pratiloma, where mother is of a higher class and father is of a lower class. And in the Vedic system, it is often recommended the marriage to be Anuloma, because the father, the husband, is supposed to be the leader. He is the Pati Guru. He is supposed to be the spiritual master of the wife and the entire family. So that is the reason Anuloma marriage is recommended in Vedic system. However, there are occasions where this is not followed. So even in Bhagavatam, when such occurrences have happened, then there is a special question by Maharaj Parikshit. Why this happened? That was regarding Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya and King, anyone remembers the king's name?
Yayati.
Yayati, exactly. Yayati, and what was the name of daughter of Shukracharya? Sharmishta? Yeah, Sharmishta and Yayati. That was an example of Pratiloma marriage, where Shukracharya belongs to Brahmin community, whereas Yayati is a Kshatriya king. So they got married in a particular circumstance. And then immediately Maharaj Parikshit asked, why this Pratiloma marriage happened? Because it is quite unusual in the Vedic system. Anyway, there is a whole description. The incident actually led to the marriage between Sharmishta and Yayati. Nowadays, anyway, this system doesn't exist. There is no question of Anuloma or Pratiloma. Everything is mixed. Everything is Varna Sankara. As Arjun was pointing out in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita to Krishna. Soon, when this battle of Kurukshetra happens, all the men will be killed. And their wives will become husbandless. And there is a chance of pollution of women, and that will lead to Varna Sankara. And Arjun was very compassionate, and he mentioned what will happen to the society if there is Varna Sankara. So in the Vedic system, the welfare of the society was considered the utmost, to the extent that even Kshatriyas used to fight to give protection to the subjects. The question was, who can give well protection to the subjects? That was the prime reason for the fight between two kingdoms. It was not just a political game. They had the concern how to protect the praja, the subjects. And due to that reason, in the Vedic system, even in the marriage system, this Anuloma and the Pratiloma concept was there. And usually, the marriage was between the same caste. It was not between the different castes, so that there is no Varna Sankara. However, when we talk about the devotional service, which is superior to these classifications. Why? And especially when we consider this age of Kali, we cannot imagine what is a society in which only Anuloma marriage is existing, or a society in which only people of a particular caste only marries. Even in India it is breaking apart. The sole reason is that the whole society is completely degraded. As Bhagavatam in the first canto, even the first chapter mentions what are the qualifications of the residents of Kali. One is Prayana Alpayusha. Prayana Alpayusha means, first of all, the longevity has reduced. I was reading a statistics regarding that. Longevity, according to the modern medical development, we think the longevity has increased, apparently. In one sense, it's a fact. The longevity in many countries have increased. But on the other hand, when it is said the abortion adjusted expectancy rate, that is, when you take into consideration the abortion rate also in this world, then the longevity is much low. Without taking into consideration the abortion, in America, in 2000s, the longevity is around 78. However, when the abortion is taken into account, the longevity is 48.6. So it's almost, in Kali Yuga, the longevity is supposed to be 100. So the influence of Kali, we can see, okay, it is 78. And when we consider the real statistics, then it is 48.6. So we can see how much it is degraded. And people have irregular habits. They don't know what to eat, where to eat. People are just shopping around, you know, KFC, McDonald's, this, that. And it's unhealthy. And the lifestyle is completely, you know, upside down. So in all respects, people are not qualified in terms of piety. However, since the devotional service is superior to these pious and impious activities of the world, we can see it is promising. As Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, it says, it gives a description of different races of society, the different races in this world who do not follow Vedic system. It gives one after another. Apirashumpa yavana khasadaya yenyacha papana yat apataya apashraya ashraya shuddhyanditasme prabhavishname namaha. So it says, Kirada, it starts actually from Kirada. Kirada hunantra purincha bulkasha apirashumpa yavana khasadaya yenyacha papa yadabashraya ashraya shuddhyanditasme prabhavishname namaha. So it says, there are so many classes in this world who do not follow the Vedic system, who do not follow this analysis of piety and impiety. Everything is inauspicious. So it is given, okay, there is Kiratas, so it is different locations in this world. Hunas, Antharas, that is within India. Yavanas, Pulkashas. So this gives different races who do not follow the Vedic system. However, we may say, okay, you can see so many impious activities and there are so many people who within India who are not following the Vedic system. How about them? Where is the description given about them? So it is said, maybe Australia, there is no description of Australia directly in this verse. So where are they? So it is said, yet apashraya ashraya. Before that, enyacha papa. There is a general classification of people who do not follow the Vedic system, and they are called enyacha papa. That is, those who are addicted to sinful activities. So in this world, there are so many people everywhere, those who are addicted to sinful activities, including us. When we are coming before Krishna consciousness, we are addicted to so many sinful activities. So even them can be purified. That is the meaning of this verse. And how they can be purified? Of course, it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, that is the all-powerful Vishnu. So it is said, Shuddhyanti tasmai prapha vishnave namaha. Prapha Vishnu means the Vishnu who is all potent, who is all powerful. However, what is the system? That is yet apashraya ashraya. That is by taking shelter of one who has taken shelter of Krishna. So this is the process in which all the auspiciousness and the inauspiciousness of the material world can be transcended and come to the spiritual platform. That is simply by taking shelter of a devotee. So here also Krishna mentions, Uddhava is asking to Krishna about the superiority of devotional service compared to the material piety and impiety. Often in other schools of religiosity, of self-realization, like Gyan and Yoga, there is a prerequisite to practice those processes. It is just like if you go to a university, say MBS, if you want an admission in MBS, Melbourne Business School, one need to have very high scores in their GMAT. They need to write a SOP, that is Statement of Purpose. Then they need to have a few years of experience in the industry. So if you have so much of industry, so much of experience and very high fee, if they can afford for all this, then they can get admittance in such an institution. And if you go to Flinders Street, if you go to a TAFE, or if you go to the so-called small institutions, then anyone can come. The only qualification is if you have money, you can come. If you can pay the fees, you can get admittance. That's it. So then we judge. How we judge? We say, whichever has got the highest prerequisite, that is the best institution. That is high class. And whichever has got the low prerequisites, then it is low class. So this is our material analysis of the situation. And when we transport the same analysis into the spiritual practice, into the processes of self-realization, then we see, okay, to perform yoga, one needs high qualification. The qualification is one has to be firmly situated in the mode of goodness. Means a controlled mind. And who has the controlled mind? The average attention span is 10 to 15 minutes. Let it be in the big university, the professor is giving a big lecture and maybe 100 students are waiting. The only few minutes they can actually carefully listen to. If you see the educational system, why there are different educational tools? Why there are different teaching techniques? Originally the only one technique was speak and listen, Shravanam. That's it. There is only one technique. But now, if you are just depending on just Shravanam, that doesn't work. That's the reason there is group discussion, there is PowerPoint presentation, there is maybe quiz, there is group task. Why all these techniques are there? Because people are dull. Otherwise, there is only one process, Shravanam. That's it. Just hear. Just hear and understand. That too, if he has high skills, then just by once listening, one can understand. This is a nice example of Lav and Kush. They were the sons of Lord Ram. So they went to the ashram of Valmiki for education. And two other boys also joined. So their guru would tell one verse, recite one verse. And Lav and Kush, once they hear, immediately they remember the verse. And the two people who said, no, we want to join and we want to study with them, they joined and they couldn't actually catch up. And they went to the next verse. And Lav and Kush, no problem. They went to the next verse. And they were lagging behind. Then it went to a stage that this guru had to tell, okay, you can't actually cope with the situation. You find somebody else. So this was the potency of hearing and this was the potency of people who could hear. But now we have so much of difficulty to listen and to understand. We need to think over so many times, we need to write and listen again and again, still we don't remember. So, in this education system, we are actually brought up, and when we see the prerequisite of bhakti, there is nothing. Bhakti says there is no prerequisite for bhakti. It is said that is the independent nature of bhakti. However, there is one qualification required to practice devotional service. And that qualification is a little bit of sincerity and eagerness. If that sincerity is not there, then we cannot actually practice devotional service, or we cannot make much progress in the process of devotional service. That is the only qualification that is asked. Nothing else. So if we have a little bit of inclination, a little bit of appreciation, and to follow devotional service, and that is the beginning. And from there, everything else can come. As it is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ato Shraddha. Everything starts from a little bit of faith, from where we get a little bit of appreciation for the process. Where we can start this process, and then we can gradually make progress. And in the process, we have to take right association of the devotees, that is Sadhu Sangha. If you don't have proper association of the devotees, then it is very difficult to make any progress. It is difficult to even to maintain just regulative principles which establishes ourselves in the human form of life. Even to do that, we need the association of the devotees, because around the world it is so degraded in all respects. It is mentioned that the regulative principle is only brings one to the human platform of life. So the actual process is starting from Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Starting from hearing about Krishna and speaking about Krishna, and then ending up in Smaranam, that is remembrance of Krishna. Because remembrance of Krishna actually makes one the topmost yogi, whose mind is attached to me, meaning who can remember Krishna. That is the qualification of a topmost yogi. So in the beginning of 7th chapter, Krishna says, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yunjanma Dashraya Asamshayam Samagramma Yatha Gyayasi Tachrunu. So Krishna says, how one can become the topmost yogi? That is by the process of listening. That is by hearing, Tachrunu. So when one hears the topics of Krishna, when one hears the holy names, when one hears Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the beginning of devotional life. And from there, one can come to the platform of Kirtanam, chanting, as well as then Smaranam, that is remembrance. Because Smaranam is such an important item of bhakti. It is exactly opposite to the reason why which we left the spiritual world. We left the spiritual world because of forgetfulness. We are here because of forgetfulness of Krishna. The root cause of that is envy. However, the prime state of our consciousness is forgetfulness, which is opposite of Smaranam. It is like if someone has a disease, you know, which is all the memory is lost. We are in the same position. We have completely forgotten Krishna. And the process of Smaranam is exactly opposite, where we try to remember Krishna. And if we have to come to that stage of Smaranam, we have to practice Shravanam and Kirtanam very nicely. Without Shravanam and Kirtanam, it is not possible to think about Krishna. There is a very nice story of a Brahmin who actually performed meditation, that is actually Smaranam, in a very nice way. That is in Nectar Devotion. This Brahmin was very poor. He didn't have any means to worship the Lord. However, he had a great desire within his heart to do opulent deity worship. So what he did, he went to the banks of the river Godavari, he took a bath, and he sat in meditation. And in that meditation, he thought about the deity of the Supreme Lord. And he installed the deity in a very appropriate place. And from there, he started worshipping the Lord. Initially, he went personally to the whole holy waters of the world. He started traveling from one kund to the next, to one river to the next. And he personally collected water in golden pots, and he brought, and he did the abhishek of the Supreme Lord. After that, he nicely dressed the Lord with most opulent garments and gold and jewels. And he offered very nice flower garlands. Then he cooked very nice feast for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, and then he offered that feast to the Lord. All happened in the mind. So he was in deep meditation, and he was actually thinking, how nicely I am worshipping the Supreme Lord. And one day, he was continuing this process day after day, month after month. At one day, he prepared very nice sweet rice. And once he prepared the sweet rice, he wanted to test the sweet rice. Because sweet rice, it is best if we serve when it is cold. So he wanted to test the temperature. So what he did, he actually took his finger and he actually dipped the finger in the sweet rice. Suddenly, it was so hot. Even though he was thinking this, he could actually feel the temperature. Actually, his hand got burnt, his finger got burnt, and he actually broke from the meditation. When he broke from the meditation, the whole scene was witnessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Vishnu himself in Vaikuntha. He was sitting with Mother Lakshmi and he was seeing this, what was going on. So the Lord actually laughed and he told Lakshmi Devi, look what actually happened. So he said, his meditation, his worship is so nice. I am so much pleased that I am sending the Pushpak Viman, the airplane made of flower, to pick this devotee. So the airplane actually came and that picked this Brahman and he went back to the spiritual world. So we can see how the worship of the Lord, even within the mind, that is the potency of Smaranam, the remembrance of the Lord within the mind, is so powerful. Actually, it is known different. It is said there are different means by which we can make the deity of the Lord. As we know, one is stone, one is metal, wood, painting, jewel, and one is the form of the mind. So the yogis, usually they carry the Lord within the mind. And they don't have the deity, but they meditate on the Lord within the heart. So Srila Prabhupada mentions, there is no difference between worshipping the Lord outside, He is Lord Himself, as well as worshipping within. However, there is a difference. And that difference is, a yogi can carry the Lord wherever he goes, without any difficulty. Whereas its deity, there is practical difficulties. And we don't carry deities all over the world. Yes, do sometimes, but not always. So to come to that stage of very stable mind is very difficult without practice. So one should take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Because if you take shelter of the holy name of the Lord, then the holy name can reveal other aspects of the Supreme Lord. Like the name, the qualities, the form and the pastimes. So when one chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very nicely, it reveals. The mantra itself reveals nicely the other forms, even though we don't have much taste. In Shikshashtakam, Mahaprabhu says, Na Anuraga, I don't have any taste. Even though I have everything, this holy name can give everything, still I don't have the taste for chanting. Nectar of Instruction says, Syat Krishna Nama Charitati Sitapya Vidya Chittopadatta Rasanasya Na Rochikanu Kindu Adarat Anudinam Khalu Saivajushta Swadikrama Bhavati Tadgada Mulahantri. Even though the sweet name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is just like sugar candy. The sugar candy is very nice, it is very tasty. However, my tongue is afflicted with the disease pitta. I have jaundice. Pittopadatta rasanasya narochikanyo. So I don't have any taste. However, Rupa Goswami gives a solution, what to do? He says, Kintu, however, you do one thing. Kintu adarat anudinam khalu saivajushta. You place this holy names on your tongue every day. Adarat means with utmost care. Then as a result, swadvik kramat bhavati tadgada mulahantri. Swadvik kramat, that tasteful kramat means step by step, gradually. Tadgada mulahantri. How it comes gradually? Mulahantri, the root cause of our problem is avidya, ignorance. That is hantri, that actually destroys. When that root cause of our problems, which is avidya, the ignorance, when that is destroyed, then taste for the holy name will naturally come. It is said about Krishna, Vrajina Hantriyalam Vishwamangalam. That is, Krishna is, he can actually destroy all the material distress. And he can give Vishwa Mangalam. That is, he can give all auspiciousness to everyone, Vishwa, for the whole world. So that auspiciousness can come just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So one can actually go beyond this piety and impiety by the process of bhakti. So here it's only mentioned the analysis, how in this world, in the Vedic system, how everything is analyzed on the basis of piety and impiety. And in the further verses, it will describe how to go beyond that. Because piety is a good thing, because it is a stepping stone to devotional service. Because being in the mode of goodness, it is very much advantageous. We cannot actually neglect the mode of goodness. It is a prime factor, it is a very important factor in our devotional life. However, in itself is not sufficient, because one has to come to Vishuddha Sattva. One has to come to the platform of pure goodness, which is in which actually the Supreme Lord is revealed. By the process of devotional service, we are still in the material world. As we practice devotional service, we are still in the material world. Not necessarily that our karmas, the prarabdha karma which we are suffering, which will go away. No, it will be still there. However, there is one thing, that is, the Krishna himself reveals within the heart. He himself reveals. That is the process. So even though the material circumstances may not change, even though the accumulated sinful reactions for this lifetime, it may remain as it is, still, when Krishna starts revealing himself in our life, Krishna starts reciprocating to the devotees. That makes a difference. So in that way, one can actually will be able to develop some taste for the devotional service and will be able to remain in devotional service. So without taste, one cannot be in the devotional service. One cannot remain in the devotional service. So that taste one will get as we perform devotional service day after day. So that is sadhvi kramad bhavati tadgada moola hantri. So one has to be patient. And in this wording given Anuloma and Pratiloma, even Suta Goswami in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentions, even though I am Pratiloma Jata, even though I am born of a superior mother and inferior father, still by the mercy of the Lord I am able to understand, I am able to recite, and I am able to realize Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suda Goswami, even Suda Goswami himself, he was also Pratiloma Jata. He was also born in a Pratiloma situation. But we can see how, by the power of devotional service, he's the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. He could answer the questions by the sages. And he also mentions the realizations regarding Krishna. It actually just depends on the individual. According to their devotion, one has different levels of realizations. And Suta Goswami, and there is no limit to it. And Suta Goswami himself is giving such a wonderful section of Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. It's actually primarily spoken by Suta Goswami. So we can see, even though one is Pratiloma Jata, there is no limit to his realizations because of the all-powerful bhakti process. So I stop here. See if there are any comments or questions. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.